they are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
A Kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Well, it's first show back for Wendy here in the studio. She's been gone for, what was it, like 33 weeks or something like that?
It was three weeks.
The house was a mess. I apologize. I was warning you. But you
cleaned it.
Yeah.
It looked pretty good.
Magic. You thought a cleaner came in.
I thought an angel. Yeah. An angel with wings came in. Yeah.
No, just a husband paranoid. Hey, so before we get any further here in our discussion, why don't we go with Ogama with the news? Welcome, Ogama. This is the news you don't hear anywhere else but here on Native Roots Radio. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Buju, Robert Mundy. Can you hear me okay today?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm Ogama Vanukri. I'm an enrolled member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. And I always bring news on Native Roots Radio. I always like to start with some news, what's coming up in the Line 3 movement. Today, oral arguments were heard for the second time on the Manuman or Wild Rice versus DNR in White Earth Tribal Court case. And I don't have any more updates on that, but I do know that started at about 3 p.m. today. So hopefully we'll have some more updates with that later on this week. But with Christmas coming up this weekend, I wanted to let people know that Untold Minnesota or Minnesota Untold Stories, which airs on Fox and Fox 9 Plus, will be re-airing a Line 3 related story on Christmas Day. So it's a one-hour special, and it will air twice on Christmas at 7 a.m. on Fox 9 and then at 8 p.m. on Fox 9 Plus in Minnesota. Again, that's Minnesota Untold Stories on Christmas Day. This will be related to the Line 3 project here in Minnesota, so I wanted to make sure all of you water protectors who are out there looking for something to watch on Christmas Day, if you haven't caught that yet, it's a good time to catch it. And to let your friends and family know that that's going to be happening. I'll make sure to get a post up on that on Native Roots Radio. We're going to go a little bit west here to the Rosebud Sioux Tribe. The Biden administration has decided it's not going to appeal a treaty rights victory case that was secured by the Rosebud Sioux Tribe in South Dakota. The Department of Justice informed the tribe and its legal counsel that it's not going to dispute the ruling that came through last Monday afternoon. And it's a huge victory because the Rosebud Sioux Tribe and all tribes that are signatories of the Fort Laramie Treaty had a treaty right upheld within U.S. courts. The right is Indian health care. Tribal nations of the Great Plains had called upon the Biden administration to honor the court decision in Rosebud Sioux Tribe versus the United States. They ruled that the 1868 Treaty of Fort Laramie requires the federal government to provide competent physician-led health care to the Sioux Nation and its people, many of whom suffer from substandard services in their homelands. So this is a really big deal that the Biden administration has decided not to appeal this case and to let that ruling stand, that treaty right is as it should be. And Nancy Beaulieu, I'm sure we'll talk about later, right, Robert, that treaties are the law of the land.
Absolutely. And we got a group of them. I'm glad you brought that up, Ogama. We got a group of people up celebrating and talking about Solus, the shortest day of the year today. So with Nancy, we'll have Joe and a couple of their crew up there. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. There's a lot to celebrate this winter solstice. That was going to be my next thing, is that winter solstice tends to bring about the time of stories and winter ceremonies for a lot of tribes. And I was reading somewhere today that all Indigenous nations used to celebrate the winter solstice at the same time. And now we kind of do again. But just, you know, the reminder that the Christmas holiday that's coming up does have what could be considered Indigenous, or sometimes people use that word pagan, although I don't prefer that, to discuss Christmas and holiday traditions. But it's exciting for this shortest day of the year, this kind of refresh and reset for the new year as we look into January and head beyond with what's happening in Native America. It's really important. Coming up on the holiday, there was a Native American Santa that visited the Oklahoma First Nations Museum.
Yeah.
So the Santa had long gray braids and a traditional red robe turned to regalia. So he was over the weekend, he was visiting over the past weekend to the newly opened First Americans Museum in Oklahoma City. And behind him was a digital screen showing a downpouring of snow over his sleigh, which was pulled by eight bison. Which I think is, I love this blending of traditions that's kind of happening. And I think there was like 1,000 kids or something that came and visited throughout the weekend, or several hundred kids that came. I can't remember the number now, but it was a really cool event. It was free and open to the public Saturday and Sunday this past weekend. I think that that's really, really cool, and I hope I see some pictures come through my feed. So if you're listening to us and you're in the Oklahoma City area and you took your kids to that, let me know. I want to see some pictures of Indigenous Santa.
That's a lot of baby billy goats. Kids, get it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Dad humor again.
I don't know if we were getting along with the bison that were pulling the sleigh, though. We'd have to, I don't know, do goats and bisons get along? Anybody who knows bison and other farm animals, let us know. Looking into the new year, the last bit of info I have here, the Department of the Interior is going to be holding tribal consultations in late January of 2022 to discuss the infrastructure bill that was recently signed into law by President Biden. The sessions are scheduled to take place January 26th through January 28th, and they're going to include discussions including climate resilience, water infrastructure, water rights settlements, and ecosystem restoration programs. So that's really exciting to hear that the Department of Interior is going to start with tribal consultations as we're working into that infrastructure bill. I'm hoping that our voices will not, as Nancy Beaulieu would say, fall on deaf ears. At a federal level.
Yeah, we got a couple more minutes here with Rockin' News here with Ogama, where you hear this news and you don't hear it anywhere else, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I'm still wondering about those buffalo and if one of them was
bison.
Oh, bison, right? Was up front with a red nose in the front.
You know, I was just reading an article today about where Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came from.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually created by Montgomery Ward, which was an older department store. Do you guys remember Montgomery Ward?
Oh, yes. My mom worked there. So we used to go to the bargain room, and that's where I got all my toys as a little kid.
So Montgomery Ward would give children's books out at Christmas time. And one year, I guess they decided to save paying publishers and decided to write their own book. And that's where Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came from.
Mm,
so it's interesting that
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Native Roots Radio
trivia. Yeah, trivia here. I had no idea that that story had come from that. I just find it really interesting. And you know, like Charlie Brown's Christmas special was originally basically funded by Coca-Cola to get Coca-Cola advertising on the air. You know, some of these more recent Christmas traditions and cartoons and those kinds of things that are, you know, very American or colonized are, you know, kind of based in capitalism. So, you know, as we take back these holidays and the solstice, I think it's important to, you know the history of those kinds of things and
absolutely,
you know, take time to blend.
Right on. Hey, thank you so much, Pini Gigi Ogama. We got 10 seconds here. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Nancy Beaulieu and her crew up there.
Stay with us.
We my way.
Hey, Olga, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, speaking of MN350, we have Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350, which is a... I guess an arm or a leg or a finger or something from Minnesota 350. Mm-hmm. And she's got her crew up there doing some stuff, some magical stuff. So, you know, we always talk about Nancy gets the most people talking to us on Facebook Live and YouTube. Mm-hmm. So they're always excited to hear her. So why don't we turn over the show to Nancy Bolio. Welcome.
Well, Miigwech for having me. And every Tuesday, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, Robert. And we're actually in a ceremony, winter solstice ceremony right now. And we'll give a little update on that in a little bit. But I just want to be able to share a little from our 1855 Treaty Authority meeting here in northern Minnesota on Friday. And, you know, Robert, our elders are always telling us what good are our rights if we don't assert those rights, right?
Correct.
So at the 1855 Treaty Authority, we are looking into asserting all of our rights, and that includes the tax-free Indian, our Article 2 of the United States Constitution. So they're going to put some things together on what our rights look like, and they're actually going to present at the next quarterly meeting, the Minnesota Indians Affairs Council meeting. And and so I'm looking forward to, you know, like we mentioned before, this is more than a pipeline. This is not just about Line 3. This is about asserting our rights and making all these treaty people. Remember, we're all treaty people. No matter what walk of life you come from, you can self-identify any way you want, go to any church you want, identify with any party. But we're all treaty people here. So we're going to continue to assert those rights and remind people that we're still here, and I think we're going to do that in a really positive way, and we can save money doing that too by being tax-free Indians.
Oh yes, tax-free Indians. I like that.
Me too. You know, it saved me $44 on my new stove I bought just about 3 months ago, and I want to, you know, give a big shout out to Home Depot here in Bemidji that, you know, actually respectfully honored my tribal ID and didn't give me any hard times. They just said, you're right, let's do it. And So when 1855 brought that up, I was like more than excited to say, you know, let's do it, because there are people out there that will honor that. And I think those are the type of the relationships we want to show the rest of the world. This is how we coexist. This is how we honor those treaties. And this is how we uphold our own United States Constitution, because Article 6, we can't have crickets about that no more. We need to make sure that the United States is obligating to its treaty and making sure that they respect us in our self-determination.
Wow. You know, it's really funny while you were saying that, you know, whenever I fly anywhere, Nancy, I always show my tribal ID, you know, to the people and wearing those blue suits and checking everybody's ID. And I've only had one person ask what it was, but other people do that too. And that's to show our sovereignty too.
Right. And I, you know, here in the state of Minnesota, we are starting to recognize that tribal IDs are official IDs. You know, we had a hard time with some of the businesses accepting it. But, you know, being an ex-bartender, I know what it was like for a lot of our people to even present that, you know, not that we want to buy liquor, but in a liquor store, even buying anything that you had to be 18 or over, they were discriminated against and said that wasn't good enough. Well, you know, we're more than good enough. So I think, you know, that with the work of the 1855 and just some of the our people are, we see across Turtle Island that we're starting to rise, Robert, and we're starting to realize that we can make a difference. It's just that we can't stop fighting, and we have to put up that good fight. And so I think, you know, being in this coalition and this movement, even tonight being surrounded by these beautiful people and learning our way, I couldn't ask to be in a better place.
Yeah, that's awesome. That really is. And you know how a native's humor is, Nancy? So whenever I pull up my tribal ID, I got a big old hair sticking way up, looking like Alfalfa or like Charlie Brown. But no one told me that until I got my tribal ID and went home and looked at it closely.
Oh, Robert, we'll still love you the same. So no worries there.
I'll get a little white.
I'll make sure. Yeah, just a little white. We'll take care of it. But yeah, it's actually really, really nice up here. It's a little cold, but we are actually standing or sitting in a yurt of Indigenous Environmental Network. Their office is located here at the Rail River Folk School. So I'm actually lucky enough to have an office right around the corner from Mr. Tom Goldtooth. And yeah, so we're in their yurt tonight, and we have a sacred fire. We actually just lit that right before the show started, so... That's wow. Probably why I was a little out of breath when I first got on. But I also want to mention, you know, I don't know if we have enough time before break, but that treaty alliance that we're working on in the spring. So I want to touch base when we get back from our commercial break on that, because there's a little bit to share.
Well, we got another 5 minutes. So tell us a little more what's going up there on up there. And then you're going to have a couple people stop in too, right?
Right. So I'm hanging out with Gina about Peltier from Honor the Earth.
Yeah.
We got Joe Moran from as far as Oregon, and he's my co-worker at Minnesota 350. He's our cultural guy. And then we got Joey Peltier from Honor the Earth and Our Revolution, Bemidji. And he also wants to share a little bit today about our Native People's Caucus and why it's important to be engaged on a civic note. And we have a new friend here today, one of Joe's friends, Daryl. Yeah, and then we have Kaylee, our sister that is Joe's partner. So we're in a good way tonight. And we have Sequoia, and he is a buffalo dancer. Yeah,
oh.
And he comes with nothing but tradition. It's his only way. And I think, you know, that's why we're here tonight. We're trying to find our way back, and we hope that looking forward that our children and those that are not even born yet, that's the only thing they're going to know, Robert. So we have a lot of good things coming forward into our ceremonies.
Yeah, I know with some of our – this time of year, too, is an intense time for storytelling. And so are you going to have some storytelling going on in your yurt?
Yeah, and Joe will share a little bit about the winter solstice ceremony when we come back from commercial break. And I just wanted to make sure that our people knew about, you know, the work that we need to do is we need all of our relatives to come forward and stand with us, because, you know, we're in this together. And if we don't find a different way, I think all that is sacred is, in jeopardy here. So I think we need to just realign ourselves with natural law, build on that community. And community is the people power that we hold together. And until we do that, Robert, they're going to continue to assimilate us and take what's not theirs. And so until we continue to assert who we are and rightfully claim our land back, I think, we can do that in a good way. And I think that's one reason, one of the main reasons why I'm here tonight is to help find my way back.
Yeah. Well, we talk about our allies, too. I mean, they were colonized, too. They were thousands of years back. They were close to Mother Earth, too. They believed a lot of the things that we believe in. And we just have to give a gentle reminder. And another thing, too, is those treaties work both ways in a good way. And I think people really, especially our white allies, need to understand that.
Right. Those treaties were intended for us to live in peace as neighbors and to leave the earth in a better way than we found it. And, the work that we're doing at Minnesota 350 is really built a lot of awareness in the last couple of years or so, and we've seen that at the Treaty People Gathering in Waubin, Minnesota, and when we occupied the Line 3 easement for those 8 days, we showed the whole world what it looks like to coexist and what it means to stand in solidarity and live in a good way, and we're going to continue to do that by finding our way back and sharing our culture and bringing our allies into those spaces with us in a good way, and we're not done. We have a lot of work to do. And I think, looking at the Treaty Alliance and just some of the elections we got to do and supporting some of our Native candidates, our like-minded allies, we're going to teach people along the way how we can build on that community, not just culturally speaking, but when it comes to the Western world of who is going to make those decisions for us. And so, again, just looking at the Bemidji City Council and the Beltrami County Board of the commissioners, I should say, we can, if we work hard, we can take those back. And then we're on the first city in the Mississippi, and we want to set a fine example of what it looks like to work hard and take back our community and honor those treaties together.
Yeah, that's awesome. Nancy, we're gonna take a break here, but I just want to say, Peeny Geegee, you always really excite me. You and probably Heather Keeler, who we had on yesterday, really get me going and really, really understand that, hey, we have part of this election that's coming up. We have, last time when we did Rock the Vote Native Style, there was 14 Native candidates, and I think 13 of them won. So we have the capacity, and I always get really excited. You are such a great I don't want anyone to say guest. You're a great part of this show, and I appreciate it. So we're going to take a quick break, and then you're going to take over the show and introduce a few people and talk about things. So we really appreciate it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back in just about, we can talk for 30 seconds how cool Nancy is, Wendy.
We could always talk. We could talk for more than 30 seconds,
that's
though,
right.
That's for sure.
Right, but the capacity, and we're coming up again on another election, and we need to support like-minded people and, of course, our Native candidates.
Absolutely.
All over Turtle Island. So there I did it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, host of the Bradcast. We'll expose all the latest schemes, frauds, and more weeknights at 7 on AM 950.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
The American bison. These powerful animals surround the weak members of their herd when threatened. I got vaccinated against COVID-19.
To protect those who can't do it themselves.
Me too.
And me.
Like the bison, we can protect those who can't help themselves. Get vaccinated today to stop the spread. Protect your herd. Brought to you by the McGizzy Communications and Minnesota Department of Health.
Aho, relatives. My name is George McCauley, Omaha Nation. I'm a citizen of the Omaha Nation in Nebraska. As we head into wintertime, many of us will be back together indoors. It's important to make sure you receive your COVID booster shot. Older Americans are more at risk for complications for COVID-19. All three COVID vaccine boosters have been approved. Find a vaccine site by calling 651-304-9986 or go to vaccineconnector.mn.gov.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact RobbinsKaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Cluglia. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 7 above, then sunshine on Wednesday with a high of 29. Take a break from that holiday cooking by visiting one of our fabulous Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Find the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants and food purveyors at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awaken. I'm your host, Wakan Jamade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, so we're back here with Nancy Bolio, and she's got a few guests up there in the deep north. They're doing ceremony and storytelling up in a yurt up there with a lot of fire, sacred fire. And Nancy, take it away. You got a 12-minute segment here with your guests.
All right. Well, I want to welcome back our listeners and thank them for hanging out with us tonight. And I also want to just make sure, you know, to give a big shout out to all those natives and non-natives that dig deep in their pockets and support our work financially, because honestly, we couldn't do it without the money. And I spent a good part of yesterday and today because we're in a giveaway here. And I made sure that I didn't forget about those that support our work, Native and non-Native. I sent out some giveaways in the old post office style, Robert. But I want to give a big shout out to all those people that are always going to, you know, continue to stand with us in solidarity and support the good work we do. And again, we couldn't do it without them. We couldn't do it without each other. And tonight I'm holding space with some beautiful people here. And we have Joey Peltier, and he's our brother from Turtle Mountain in North Dakota. And I know him locally because politically him and I kind of align a lot, I should say. And he is a member of our revolution here in Bemidji. I'm not sure of his title, but he'll share a little bit of that when he comes on here. And he also is a member of the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, and I am a member myself. And Joey wants to share why it's important that we engage and how we can do that. So I'm going to pass it over to Joey. So welcome, Joey.
Bonjour. And let me just correct the record. Both Nancy and I are actually executive directors of the Minnesota Native People's Caucus of the DFL. And we just recently had our meeting for December this past Sunday, where we covered briefly on what we're going to do for next year within the caucus. We're currently working on a list of resolutions, including what are resolutions for the DSL. And resolutions, quickly, for the folks that don't know what they are, the grassroots from the bottom up, how we change our platform and our action agenda items. And what those are, our action agenda items and our platform, are the things that we gauge our elected officials on. And so we're currently working on our resolutions on how we're going to get Indigenous sovereignty resolutions to the table at the state convention. We're working on videos that I hear that, Robert, you're going to be helping out with a little bit, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Oh, we have a resolutions committee starting out right in the first week of January. If you're able to attend, we host those live on Facebook in our Native People's Caucus group. And then we also invite you to come into our Zoom meeting so you can actually engage with the caucus itself. Louisa Posada is our chair, and we have a Scott Boyle, who is our vice chair, and they are amazing folks. They're bumping and turning out results left and right, and I can't wait until next year.
Yeah, exactly. And Joey, tell our audience two things, because we're in Milwaukee, we're in Madison, in the Twin Cities. Where exactly are you guys compared to, like, the Twin Cities right now?
We are roughly about 3 hours northwest of the Twin Cities. We're in the deep north, and a lot of people misconstrue the deep north as, you know, like the deep south, but I disagree. We have a lot of huge Indigenous cultures and communities, along with our ally communities, that are willing to work together and coexist together. Nancy and I were here in Bemidji, Minnesota, which is right in the smack dab center of three Indigenous tribes. We have the Leech Lake, White Earth, and Red Lake, and we coexist with our communities to our economies. And without that coexistion, none of our communities would last up here in the deep north.
Hey, you know, that's a really, really, really thank you for that point, because, you know, I started calling it the deep north when we were having Winona on all the time. And but that is a really, really good point. Thanks, Joey.
Miigwech for the space, Robert. And I'm going to pass it back over to Nancy.
All right.
And Robert.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oops. Yeah, and I just want to remind people, you know, back to the work that we do at the Minnesota Native People's Caucus of the DFL. I think I just messed that up, but it don't matter. You know, it's a space in this Western way of doing things, and if we don't show up, we will be served. So, you know, it's not really our way. Neither is the Indian Reorganization Act, but this is what we're trying to change. Until we show up, the forces will always be against us. And so if you cannot run for office, a good thing you can do is learn how to be a delegate. And I think with some of the videos and the work that we're all going to do together, we're going to educate people on how to become a delegate. Because, Robert, that's how I got involved. I woke up one day and said, you know what? I'm tired of our words falling on deaf ears. What can we do to change that? So the late Elizabeth Sherman from Leech Lake and myself wrote a resolution in 2018. And with the great work from the Native People's Caucus of the Minnesota DFL, we actually got to speak on behalf of those treaties at the 2018 State Convention in Rochester, Minnesota. And never did I imagine that I would get a standing ovation and a majority vote. And we did pass that treaty resolution. So if you become a delegate, we can do that again, and we can move it to the action agenda, and we could show them that treaties are supreme law of the land until we show up, Robert. That ain't going to happen. So we encourage people to go to their precinct caucuses in February and push these agendas, support them, and speak to them. And our work at Minnesota 350 Action and the work here on a local note with our revolution and the Native People's Caucus, we're going to push and support those treaties all the way across the state of Minnesota. And we hope to show the rest of Turtle Island this is how it's done, you know. And so I think we're in the opportunity here is to make sure that we educate our people, and we're going to do that, Robert, with our Native Roots Symposium and Rock the Vote Native Style. And so looking into January, we are going to get busy.
That's right. Hey, so we got like about 4.5 minutes. Do you got another guest?
We sure do. We have Sequoia. And this is Joe Morales' son, and he's here with us tonight to share some teachings with us. So I'm honored to pass the microphone over to Sequoia.
How you doing tonight, Robert?
Good to hear your voice again.
You too, Uncle.
Hey, so you got 4 minutes, and you got the whole floor to yourself, young man.
4 minutes? I guess at this time I just want to say thank you first of all for giving me the space. I guess a little bit by myself. My name is Sequoia Dreaming Elk. My Lakota name is Tatonkishka, which means white buffalo, and my Cree name is Kakatebeneasi, which means black thunderbird. Currently I'm sitting in Bemidji, Minnesota, freezing my butt off as an Oregonian. And I'm here for winter solstice ceremony. You know, I grew up in nothing but the ceremony way of life. And this is a ceremony that's been passed down from the Chumash people of California to my dad and my mother. And this is something I've grown up doing. This is my winter tradition. And, you know, it feels good to be back here with the community, with my dad. And it feels good to be in ceremony.
Can you tell our audience a little bit about, without giving too much away, what you're going to be doing in ceremony? We know we're deep in prayer, and also during we talk a lot of stories, too, at this time of the year.
Yep. You know, during this time, and especially with the ceremony that we're doing, we talk about this, about the last year, and what this ceremony is based around is the whale. And to the Chumash people, that's their historian, their storyteller. I mean, tonight that's what we're doing is we're reminiscing about this year. We're sharing stories, and we're looking on to the next one. You know, this was a hard year for many people around the world and many indigenous people. We'll be asking our Father, Son to come back to us on this longest night of the year here, for the new year, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. So you're like 19 or 20?
19 now. I'll be 20 in March.
Because we talk about on this show a lot that, you know, my generation, I'm 60 years old, was almost a lost generation in the Native way, especially this urban Indians. It's so great to hear you and doing your learnings and teachings and carrying it on. It really makes our hearts sing here.
Yeah. You know, I feel really grateful for the generations before me, your generation, for coming back to this way of life. You know, that was not an easy thing to do. And it's because of people like you that I was able to grow up in this way, that I was able to know no other way of life but the ceremonial way of life. And, you know, it's important that we keep reaching out to our youth who still do not know this way of life. For those who are still lost and don't have that community, don't have that ceremony. So, I mean, ultimately, I want to say thank you to people like you for giving me the opportunity to grow up in this way of life.
And I want to say, Pinigigi, for stopping in on our show. It's such a great, it's great to hear your voice. Also, I just want to add to what you said, is people, our Native brothers and sisters, come back. We're here, and we want to teach you. It's never too late.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, Pinigigi, thank you so much, Sequoia. Wow, that was awesome, Wendy. Nancy had the great guests up there. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and our sacred animal section's up next. When? Say that again.
That's right, it is.
Had you on mute there.
Yeah.
Hey, that was so cool and inspiring.
Yes, very inspiring.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
All right. Hey, I used to like our, you know, I just got to say two things, Wendy. Like, one of them is, I'm all scattered, but one of them is we'll be on 4 years after we take our break and come back on the 1st of January, that first Saturday.
That's amazing.
4 years ago, we started this adventure.
It was our debut.
And I used to have a whole big piece of paper and introduced you.
Mm-hmm.
And you used to write down everything you were going to say word to word.
I used to be so nervous all the time on the radio.
Now you're an expert, and I think you're doing clinics and telling all young women how to become radio personalities.
Yeah, sure.
But hey, I don't want to cut any more of your time. But it's great to have you back.
Yeah,
it's just a security blanket for me too, to be able to walk, look over to you And especially if I'm, you know, because I am the king of ums. So I'd be and then you jump in and with the word. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's hard when we're doing it remote sometimes because it's a half a second delay.
Sure, and right I really now, can't see. I mean, even though we see each other on, you know.
You don't see my eyes pop out of my head going.
I really can't tell whether your eyes are popping out of your head. But yeah, today I feel so out of sorts, Robert.
Oh.
You said, okay, I'm getting ready for the show. It's in 10 minutes. And I was like, what? A show? Like,
show?
I didn't even, like, realize that there was a show. And I was just running around like, oh, my God, I forgot about the show. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm just like an airhead, I swear.
No,
I feel just, you know, I've been away for 3 weeks and just getting back home and, you know, getting back to the old groove and of things. So I just kind of forgot about it. So but I'm here now. I'm going to make it through the segment. And my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega,
yeah.
Curtis, as always, Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds.
And every time I hear that, I've met another
person with that
with
name.
That name at
amazing.
General Counsel.
Yeah.
And they came all the way from Colorado. So I smile every time I hear that.
Yeah. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States. And today in the mail, I just received
a plaque
that I have to – it's not a plaque. It's a piece of paper that's honoring me for doing that, for being a humane policy volunteer leader for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So
Longer than the show.
I'm really happy that I got that. And I will put it in a frame because
Put it up in the studio.
I am proud of doing that, you know.
Put it up somewhere over here.
Yeah, exactly. Robert, I think you posted this and I found it really interesting. You know, Michael Vick.
Yes.
And he had the dog fighting ring.
Went into prison for it.
Yep.
Was out of the NFL.
Former Atlanta Falcons quarterback.
Yep.
He served a prison sentence also in November 2007 for 18 months in federal prison for his role in dog fighting scandal. Sportscasting.com, which I'll refer to in a little while, it was updated on December 1st, 2021 by Jake Ellman, said that Vic recently called his actions self-inflicted and wished he exercised better judgment doing that. But the Vic dog era is over. Last Saturday, we had a great honor and privilege of attending the transition of the sweet, shy Frodo as his family helped him pass over to be with the rest of the dogs from the group. He was the last of 48 brave survivors from the game-changing case. Seized and rescued in 2007, we estimate that he would have been 15 years old. And this is the important part. The last 14 years of his life were spent being pampered like a prince with the Ramirez family and dogs. Sweet Frodo, how we loved him. That's what his family said. He was one of the bravest survivors we've ever met. We didn't realize at the time that Johnny Justice had passed away in a private moment with his people, Chris and Jen, just 2 days earlier. Oh,
wow.
Johnny, we thought you might live forever.
Hey, one thing I want to just jump in and say as a Native person and just kind of educating our audience, that our allies, that dogs are sacred in many ways, but I just want to say a couple. And one of them is, you know, we have chiefs and medicine men named after dogs like Crow Dog. And so I just wanted to jump in and say how sacred dogs are to us.
Yeah. And finally, in the first week of October, Letty DeLittle's sweet man, Uba, passed away. We've been grappling to find the words, and now Uba's friends have pushed that door wide open. Warm sympathies and gratitude to the families. We'll come back with more on each special dog and their lives they live. But for now, it's time to have a little cry and say goodbye to all of them. There was actually a photo of Frodo
that you could take a look at. I think it's mm-hmm. under your Facebook page.
Yeah, it is. I put a couple things up
yeah,
today.
Yeah, and they also wanted to put a shout out to Dr. Williams for tending to his medical needs up till the end. He trusted you, and you made his moment so perfect. So that's about the Michael Vick dogs. But this article here that we have, this really, really ruined his life. I mean, he definitely, you know, it followed him around forever. It still does. Yeah, absolutely. And it says, "That's a blemish that I will never be able to erase." That's a quote from him. Also, I just want to say this. I found this in the article that Vic, and I don't know if it was for PR work and that's why he did it, but the Humane Society of the United States did work with him, with Michael Vick. And Michael, here it is. Around the same time, Vic partnered with the Humane Society of the United States as an anti-dogfighting ambassador. He spent the last decade sharing his story, just as he did recently, and encouraging others to love their animals. Vic easily could have gone down a far different path upon leaving prison, and he could have done the bare minimum. He could have declined comment if asked to speak about his prison sentence at a press conference or in a private interview. Instead, he did use the opportunity and the platform to try to ensure others, especially impressionable youth, to learn from his mistakes. So I do appreciate that he was doing that. I really, 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 though, have such a hard time forgiving him. And the reason why is because the things that he did to these dogs, mm-hmm. Electrifying them, throwing them over his head and slamming their bodies to the ground, keeping them out in horrid conditions with heavy chains, and how he treated them and trained them is so ingrained in my mind. And I can't bring myself to forgive him, even though he turned a new leaf, I want to say, or because I can't really just, I can't,
well,
you know, this is
to
my personal opinion. Like, I don't know if it's just for PR and to clear his name, if he's doing all these things, or if he's genuinely, you know, sorry for his actions and that he really is reformed and that he really is really, really sorry. And I really pray that he is. And I really hope that he is. But I have a hard time with the forgiveness piece because I can't forget. But maybe I could forgive him, but I won't forget. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I really have to, like, really think about that and process it and, like, pray about it and see how I feel about it.
I know anger and resentments only affects the people that are
Feeling it. Right, exactly.
You know, that old saying is like, you're pacing the floor and mad at somebody and they're sleeping like
right,
a baby.
Right, the other person is sleeping like a baby. You're
hey,
right, yeah.
Pina Gigi Wendy for being on. Nancy and her crew, Ogama. I'd like to end with these thoughts. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.